This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Hey everybody, this is Richard Deitch and welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. Big thanks to Sean Cherry and Patrick Antonetti for producing this. We're doing this podcast like many of you listening to this in self-quarantine. I'm taping this in Toronto and have been inside now for about a week. And so it is it is actually good to do something like this. It sort of breaks a little bit of the stir craziness. My guest this week is Scott Van Pelt, the ESPN SportsCenter anchor and longtime ESPN presence. In this podcast, Scott and I discuss what I think you will find pretty interesting, and that's how his show is adapting to the current coronavirus crisis, what working at ESPN is like right now. And if you remember, Scott was on the air the night the NBA was canceled and was basically flying blind, no script, and just sort of figuring out as things went along in the studio with Adrian Wojnarowski, as Doris Burke and Ryan Rucco were doing the doing an NBA game live, essentially the last NBA game of the year, I think, between the Nuggets and the Mavericks. So it's a really interesting conversation just about how Van Pelt's professional world has changed, as all our professional worlds have changed. But I think you can enjoy it. Scott's always a very thoughtful guest. I've talked to him a number of times. And so coming up on the Sports Media Podcast, ESPN's Scott Van Pelt. My next guest, who has been on my podcast a number of times, doesn't really need a big introduction. If you listen to this podcast or if you watch sports, you're quite familiar with Scott Van Pelt and his work at ESPN over the years. He hosts his own version of SportsCenter and has really become the template, I think, for that entire company in terms of what SportsCenter maybe should be in the 2020s, what it can be. And the reason I wanted him to come on, I mean, I could have Scott on anytime and he'd be an interesting guest, and I'd love one time we can go a couple hours on this, but this is going to be very specific to what's been going on this week with COVID-19. And Scott sort of had to fly blind on a situation that never occurred before, and that's doing SportsCenter when the NBA season basically was canceled. And they went back and forth with Ryan Rucco, Doris Burke, and Scott Van Pelt. I wrote about from Ryan Rucco and Doris Burke's perspective on what that was like for them. And so I wanted to just check in with Scott to sort of see what it's been like to host SportsCenter in this essentially surreal and never before time. And so Scott Van Pelt joins me on the Sports Media Podcast. Scott, thank you very much for popping on today. I really appreciate that.
I'm happy to do it, Richard. I have nothing else to do.
Well, first off, so, give me a sense of just, and I think not me a sense, but give the people who are listening a sense of, so what is life like for you right now? Are you, you're spending, I imagine, a lot of time at home. You're probably not in self-quarantine at the moment. Do you have to go into the office for a couple hours? And give people a sense of what is your work like at the moment as we tape this on Tuesday, March 17th?
Well, I mean, it's certainly different in terms of what we're covering, obviously, because there's very little left. But for the moment, we're kind of a skeleton crew. We're continuing to do a SportsCenter at night, and they have been, I think, very thoughtful about the number of people that are required to do so, the number of people that should be in a room at one point in time, anytime there are large gatherings in that room, going through and trying to be very thorough and making sure everything's, wiped down, this and that. I think it's a challenge for everyone. people on our show staff, people in our office, anywhere where people are still gathering en masse, and by that I mean, you know, more than a few of us, right, to know what we're meant to do and to just be smart about it. So it's kind of more of a skeleton crew than it's been, and we're essentially taking it day by day, less hour by hour now, just because pretty much everything is shut down. I don't know what else there is to say we're postponing, but for now, I think we're taking it day by day and wondering what there is to cover. We're grateful in the short term for free agency in the NFL and the names that are involved. I mean, like, this stuff would be headline stuff regardless, right? Even if the tournament was still on and the NBA and the NHL and everything else was still playing. So we have something in the short term to cover. How long we'll have something to cover, well, that's another matter entirely. But for now, obviously the kids aren't in school. We're home in the house. We're not going out and about. I'm just going in and doing my job. The same as ever? No, it's different. But, I mean, our small little crew is still gathering and doing shows. And until it becomes clear that that's not what we should do, then we will.
Scott, can you give me – I know that you work you principally work at night. So this is sort of a guess on my part, but probably a logical guess, that there would be less people on the ESPN campus in Bristol at night versus sort of the regular 9 to 5. From your perspective at night, how reduced is the campus? Like, when you're driving in, like, do you see far less cars? Is it like many people would who have sort of experienced, who are still going to work, like essentially a bit of a ghost town and a very eerie feeling, or is it similar to what it is normally is for you?
No, I'd say what it feels like, Richard, is a bit like on a holiday. You notice that there's not as many people. There's one sort of small little parking lot that's nearest the building where I work, and that parking lot isn't big, and so it's kind of a challenge to find a parking spot, which I think sometimes people are always they find it interesting that, wait, you don't have a parking spot? No, man, I'm looking for a spot the same as everybody else. Those spots are easier to find now because there aren't as many people. And that's clear. Like, the number of people in parking spots is the one most obvious, whoa, like, there aren't as many people here. But again, I think our company, like so many others, is being very, very, what's the word of the moment? Abundance of caution. People that are able to work from home are doing so. And, that's the most obvious sort of difference, is just the availability of parking spaces.
Have you found management being hypervigilant and sending out notes to the staff about if you can practice social distancing, if you can, and some of you can't work from home? We're going to keep you updated on everything, because obviously we're a massive major sports company and so much of what we do is now being determined by things out of our control. I've always, I was going to say, like, you know, if ESPN does something stupid, I'm sort of happy to mention it. But one thing about your company that I've always said, and I really, really admire, when it comes to the health of their employees, when it comes to when employees get into trouble, if they're abroad and something bad happens to them, it really is a first class and first rate company. So my instinct would be that ESPN is, generally speaking, been pretty good in thinking about the health of their employees, but obviously I'm not there. You are.
Two things. You're exactly right. I mean, whether it's a snowstorm that winter, that's a bad example because there was no winter in New England, but anytime there's like a threat of a snowstorm, there are, you know, rooms have been secured at this local hotel so that if anyone that's working at night, like, you don't have to drive home. You're right. Their instinct and what, that's just a snowstorm. This is a pandemic. I mean, they're obviously, they're out in front of the most accurate information and the most sort of up to date. No one's being forced to do anything. It's just sort of what people are comfortable with. I think every company, and ours is on that list, is doing their best to figure out what's necessary. Obviously, to do a show, it requires a certain level of participation and presence. But yes, your instincts are accurate that they're very concerned about the cast members, as we're known at Disney, and looking after them.
Scott, I want to go back to last Wednesday, and I'm sure both of us would probably acknowledge this. Last Wednesday seriously feels like 1915. Like, it literally feels like 50 years ago. But yet it was last Wednesday night where I imagine, preparing for a SportsCenter. Now, obviously, a SportsCenter that's still going to be incredibly different given what everything that's going on. And then all of a sudden, in the second quarter, I think if I'm wrong on my timeline here, I apologize. But in the second quarter of that Mavericks-Nuggets game, the season basically is canceled. And that precedes what happened with the Thunder-Jazz game when the players are not walking on the court. They're not coming on. Gobert eventually tests positive for the coronavirus. You're probably somewhere in Bristol watching all this like, holy shit. And then somebody at your company tells you, Scott, you're going live on the air here. You're going to toggle between the live game with Ryan Rucco and Doris Burke, and let's see what happens. So I want to sort of dial down into this because this is like really the kind of stuff that news anchors do in situations of, you know, conflict and disaster and stuff. We don't often see this with sports. So if you could take me just like, let's sort of start with just that day and going in and what you thought might happen. And then the moment you start going on the air live with this.
Well, we were sitting there doing what we always do. We're preparing to do a show, but we're also preparing to do halftime because on Wednesdays, this season, we've been doing half times of the early and late games with our show following the late game. So the first quarter in Dallas is going, and we were getting ready to talk to Woj because Woj was going to share the news that the NBA was going to meet on Thursday to try to figure out what to do moving forward about playing games. If you remember, the reporting was without fans, that was going to be the next step. And as we're preparing for that, we're watching on one of the televisions this Jazz Thunder game, and it's obvious something's not right. And by not right, I mean people are leaving the floor, and then we're getting this report from Roy Young that somebody might be sick. What happened in Oklahoma City was obviously like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then we're hearing that the game's being delayed because of an illness. Well, real quickly, you're going, holy shit, somebody's got it. And not long after, it's Rudy Gobert's got it. We go up, and we're going live to Royce, because Royce Young's there, who did great work in real time trying to piece together what he could. And now we go live to him, and it's, man, they're back there in the back. The game's been postponed. 5 minutes later, Woj is tweeting, the season's suspended, and now in real time, everything obviously has changed. And I talked to Clay Skipper yesterday from GQ, and I told him that I don't know why, but it was just like sometimes there's just this clarity. And at that moment, I'm like, everything's done, everything. Because the NBA is the big giant domino that's going to, you know, cause all the others to fumble. To topple, I should say. Mark Emmert said as much yesterday. He said as soon as that happened, they knew the tournament was over. And so I knew that our evening was going to change at that point because now obviously we're covering this very unusual, actually unprecedented situation. And the most bizarre part, Richard, is I throw it back to Rucco and Doris, and they're just doing a game. And they explained to you in the article that you wrote, you know, just how like surreal is this word that is getting used a lot. But what other word is there when you're calling a game and knowing that this is it, like the season will end? So we kept ping-ponging back and forth between them and us as we got more information. And Royce is telling us that these teams are still back there in the back. And, you know, there's going to be this nightcap game, and you're like, are they going to play? And then it turns out that one of the officials officiated the Utah game. And then as we're waiting for Dave Pasch and Richard Jefferson to call that game, and I'm doing this Phil segment, I'm hearing in my ear from my producer, we're getting word that the New Orleans don't want to play. They're not on the floor. And I'm like, here we go. They're not going to play this game. And that's what Doris and was talking about. And I think we were all wondering, like, how do they play this game? Like, it's just such a surreal, odd deal here. And then the minute that the Pelicans realized, well, this guy refereed that game, turned out Courtney Kirkland did not test positive for the virus, but you can understand their concern. Well, now that game isn't going to be played, and now I'm not doing a Phil segment anymore. We're just on the air. And you go from doing 2 minutes or 3 minutes before the game to doing an hour and whatever we did live with no commercials and no script and no fucking clue what's coming next, man. Like, it's you know, look, live TV is you know, I long ago got over the whatever concerns there were. Like, be honest with your audience. Just be transparent. If you don't know what's going on, if you can't hear somebody, if you don't know where you're going, you can tell your audience, just give us a second here. They'll understand. And our production team did a phenomenal job of never letting me be in a spot where I didn't know what was going to happen, even though none of them knew what was going to happen. It was always just, we would talk to him. We got Malika, talk to her. We got Royce back in OKC. He's got something. Hold on, here's Mark Cuban. He's talking live. And we just, in real time, we're trying to process this along with our audience. I mean, it was that rarest of rare where we don't have a script. We don't know either. We'll learn what you learn together.
One of the things, Scott, that's always interesting to me, when I talk to people like you who have a lot of live television experiences, are you able to separate, and this is obviously, again, something probably never faced again, knock on wood, hopefully not in our lifetime, but are you consciously aware that sports has fundamentally changed for a long time as you are in the middle of doing this live show, as you're in the middle of talking to Doris and talking to Tom and talking to Woj and talking to Royce Young? All those guys did a great job. Like, do you know in the back of your mind that we're now entering a world that's never going to be the same again? Or are you so hyper-focused on, like, sort of what is immediately in front of you, the brain cannot process something that's so macro? You got to focus micro only.
I think you're capable of both, honestly. I think you know what your job is, right? So you're focused on that. But at the same time, for good or for bad, I'm a thinker, and I sometimes think out loud, and I think on that show there were probably moments where I did think out loud, like talking to Royce Young, and he's saying that Utah's back in the locker room, and I'm saying, well, who the hell's qualified to come check them? Like, will they just dial up the Oklahoma City coronavirus expert at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday, and he comes in and administers 20 tests when nobody has tests in this country? Like, I'm thinking out loud and asking that question just because that was what I was wondering at the time. And I think as we're going through all of this, as we're processing this, you are absolutely aware that everything fundamentally just changed. Everything is either going to be put on hold, or for a decent amount of time, it's going to be shelved permanently, I guess, in some cases. As an example, the NCAA tournament, it just won't happen. They played every year since 1939, like through wars, the whole bit, no tournament. So yeah, you recognize, wow, I mean, this is truly a never before in our lifetime moment. But yet, I'm the one doing it, and it's just me. There's no other anchor to give me a break to kind of process it and let the producer tell me something in my ear. I'm the only guy out there. So, you know, you're doing your job while at the same time you're, I think, processing and thinking about what everybody that's watching it is. Like, wow, like, what does this mean? And I don't think we, you know, however many days later, I don't think we know the answer to what it means. But we could get a pretty good, you know, we got a pretty good idea. I mean, it means everything is completely, completely different and will be for some time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
One of the things, Scott, that this, what, you know, as I'm talking to you, sort of NFL free agent, quarterbacks are being, are signing, being traded. Tom Brady is leaving the Patriots. So this week, ironically enough for you, there's a lot of news. There's a lot of news, as you just earlier said, that would have been, you know, top of the show, A block kind of news, regardless of what was going on with the NCAA tournament or elsewhere. But you and your producers now have this whole new paradigm where you got to think about, like, well, what do we do in, you know, on April 5th if, like, there is literally nothing going on? And so I just wonder, in at least early discussions among your core group that does your sports center, how are you trying to philosophically approach this with no live sports?
We are absolutely minute to minute, hour by hour, day by day. It's a bit like parenting. And what I mean by that is, and you know it. You have small children as well. If I talk to you right now about, like, what are you guys going to do this summer? Where are you guys going to go? You going to go on vacation? You got some plans? Like, yeah, we're going to go there. But right now, we've run through our allotted Paw Patrol time. I got Sam has pushed Charlie down. Charlie's pants are off. I don't know why. He's outside. It's cold. Like, I have to deal with Charlie putting his pants on and get people to not push each other. And we got to get from nap to dinner and then dinner to bath and bath to bed. And it's very apt, I think, a comparison of right now, as I'm talking to you, just for, you know, transparency of the listener here, it's Tuesday afternoon and I'm going in to do a show tonight. And we're grateful to have a bunch of NFL free agency with actual big names and big stories. Cool. We'll do that. Tomorrow, maybe the government says nobody gets to go anywhere tomorrow. So planning about April 5th right now is beyond a fool's errand. I mean, it's just an absolute waste of time. So are we all fundamentally aware of the challenge and maybe the fact that it won't even be doable? That, you know, you entertain the possibility of will ESPN collectively come to a decision that there's just, we'll go about things in a different way. I mean, you got the PTI and the DC shows, right? Like, they're dark. I think that block around the horn PTI, like, they're taking some time away. I mean, who knows what they'll decide? When I think about, like you say, April 5th, if I think about it, I think, well, I haven't got a clue because I truly don't. In the short term, we'll try to do the best job we can do with whatever there is. And the thing that's so interesting is that for all the other people out there, you know, that are so exasperated that sports, this thing that we turn to get us through the tough times, is gone. It's not a diversion for us. It's our occupation. And absent that, what do we do? We're creative, I think. We'll do the best we can to make chicken salad, as they say. But if we run out of chicken, you know, I don't know what we do. I truly don't.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, a couple more here for you, Scott. One of the things that I saw you did on social media that I thought was really, really cool and now has clearly become a segment for you on television is what you're sort of calling senior night, where you asked athletes who've lost their final season because of coronavirus to, I guess, what, send you photos or send you videos. It's really smart user generated content, and I know you enough to know that you just sort of did this organically. But my thought is, you know, I wonder if you guys have thought about, like, this is kind of the rare occurrence where if you use social media, you actually maybe able to get a lot of interesting content on the linear side. You know what I mean? On the television side. People really appreciate this senior night thing.
No, listen, there's what's really, really interesting is Thursday night we did a show, and this is when everything's now done, you know, everything's postponed, and you're like, it's just this grim reality truly, truly has landed. And in our post-show meeting, I said to our group, I said, you know what we should do? You know, we should try to reach out to the players at high schools, colleges, my thought at the time was like the smaller ones, because like the image I had in my head as a Maryland fan was of Anthony Cowan, Maryland senior point guard, after they played their final home game, they won a share of the Big Ten, they cut down the nets, they walked off the floor, they had their senior night. Now, does it suck that they don't get a tournament game? Of course. But at least they had that. And I thought, well, for the people that are in the midst of these playoffs, or if you're in a spring sport and you're just kind of getting going and the NCAA says, that's all done, let's just imagine how harsh that is. I mean, truly, they're robbed of something, a chance to compete, a chance to play. And I thought, what could we do? Well, we can acknowledge them. Well, how do we acknowledge them? I don't know. Just mention them. Let people know, here's this team that was going to play in the state final. Here are these kids, these young men at West Point who played on Army's baseball team. We talked about them Monday night. I mean, just acknowledge them. Just let people feel seen and salute them, so to speak. And I came home that night, and there was an email chain that was involved with a number of different people on the social side from ESPN that had the exact same thought. And this happened independent of each other. And then I get a note from Jimmy Pitaro, our president, thanking me for the stuff we'd done during the week, and said, you know, I sent an email on Thursday night to a bunch of people with that idea about senior night. And I thought, well, I love that all of us, independent of one another, had the same idea. And my thought was, all right, let's throw a tweet up. I know people will respond, but I mean, to this degree, you know, I shouldn't be surprised because everybody's got a story. Everybody cares about their town or their kid. And, you know, the fact that the number of these submissions have come in has been both good and bad, because you want to give everybody some love, and it's just an impossibility. But yes, it was done with an idea that we need content, and let's make something positive. Content that we need, something that is maybe a light in this dark time, and that's how we felt about it. And so we've only done it a couple of times. I've already gone through, and we've got a bunch we want to do today. And I frankly just want to do more and more. And maybe, Richard, as time goes by, if we have less to do, maybe we actually, who knows, maybe you're able to bring somebody on, you know, remotely. I mean, or you FaceTime, Skype, however you want to do it. Bring somebody on to ask them about it, you know, to tell them a story about your team. What would you want people to know about your high school team or whatever the case may be? That's a possibility of what kind of organically happens here. But it was, you know, the rare moment where social media is actually a great thing. And, you know, I shouldn't say rare, because it does, like, you see people like Shea Serrano, you know, and, you know, the Fuck Out of Here Army, and those people that raise money, and he's handing out, paying for people's bills online that are stuck because of what's going on here. Like, social media can be a great connector of people that are motivated to do good. And this was an opportunity where it was like, hey, look, tell me about your team. Tell me about your kid. And, I mean, just go through that tweet and look at it, man. And it's like, you know, you smile because you realize how many accomplished young men and women there are out there that were, you know, that were doing their best. And it sucks that it ended, but if we can tip our cap, tap the stick, whatever, we're going to try.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Last question for me, and you're right. I mean, I think we've both talked about this. Twitter is sort of the best and worst of all of us on a sort of a 24/7 basis. You know, I try not to just, I don't want to be alarmist for anybody who's listening to this, but I think if you are just willing to sort of read, and particularly read informed people public health officials, scientists, doctors. We're in for a long haul on this one. And it strikes me, Scott, that in particular when it comes to sports, even if the games come back, I think they're going to be transformed, certainly in the near term, forever. Even if something is, you might not think about this, but I think there will be people who will actually really be reticent about even just going to a game, being in a large stadium for a long, long time, perhaps for years. And so I just want to, I'm asking you something that's just going to sort of come top line here, and you haven't really had a chance to think about it, but I think a lot right now about if we are fortunate enough to sort of get past this and get back to a little bit of normalcy, I really do think sports has sort of fundamentally changed forever. And I wonder just what your thought is on that kind of thought.
I understand that point, but I also saw all the bars in Chicago last weekend. I went out in my town where I am Saturday night to pick up some food to bring it home, and it was not, like, sort of full. It was slammed. And I'm looking around, I'm like, do you not read? Are you without any form of news data, put newspapers and cable news, whatever? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? And so I think people, by and large, are going to live. I mean, I think they're still doing it right now. Like, there's still like a bunch of states where there's no, like, there's schools open and there's no change. And it's like, what are we fucking doing, man? Like, that doesn't work. This is how this is allowed to linger, I think. So I understand what you're saying. I think that sports will look different just because when games come back, they'll probably be forced to be without any fans, which is going to be very, very strange. But my sense is that, especially if it is a long haul, and it seems like it will be, that people will be so excited to have something to go do that they'll go do it. And I've said this a million times because it's true. Sports are our greatest gathering point, more so even than churches, because there's different religions. But the religion of sports is, even if, you know, you're on one side, I'm on the other, you wear red, I wear blue, well, this is the place where we'll gather and we'll do this together. And they're our greatest connector, and the absence of them as a healer here is such that I guess what I'm saying is I disagree. I think that when we're finally given a coast is clear, we come up with some kind of a vaccine, or we believe that there's enough information that this is probably not going to wipe us out as a race on Earth, that we'll go back to do what we do, and that sports will be what it's always been, our greatest healer, collectively. So I just hope I hope we get the answer to that sometime before summer. But, I mean, with each passing, you know, mile marker that gets taken down, right, into May, into June, I think we all rightfully start wondering, Richard, when is that? When does this start to look normal? And, by the way, if you had a hard time getting through 4, 5, 6 days, like, can you imagine a couple, 3, 4 months? Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know. I really, really don't.
And the only thing I was going to say, Scott, is I'm with you. I think when it does come back, it will be a healer. And I hope my instincts are wrong. I mean, I hope the medical authorities are like, you can go and you can gather in large groups, because I think sports will be a major, major factor in this country in sort of the process of becoming normal again.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Totally unrelated to this. How are you doing? You all right?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I haven't really mentioned much on, certainly on this podcast, but my mom passed away within 10 days ago, actually. Boy, man, it feels like, or it might have been 11 days now, but it feels like a lot has happened in a lifetime since then. So coupled with that and everything else going on with COVID-19 and trying to get back to Toronto and having two little kids, it's been, you know, unlike anything I've ever sort of had to process. And the honest truth is, Scott, I think you can sort of appreciate this, is I really have not had a chance to grieve the loss of my parent. There's just been so much that has gone on that you just have to take care of on a day-to-day basis. I haven't really had a chance to sort of stop.
Well, you gotta take care of you, man. You gotta take care of you. You gotta take care of you, and Social media sucks, but, you know, you sharing the stuff you shared about your mom and just, you know, seeing, you know, I smile looking at the pictures that you posted, and, you know, I, look, I don't want to make more of your personal life public here, so I won't, you know, wander down the road other than just to say, you know, people that have been through loss, you know, they'll tell you that the love doesn't go away, and I promise you it's true, and, you know, there's a lot going on, but you just take care, make sure you take care of you in the midst of all this craziness, and allow yourself that room because it's very necessary.
Yeah, well, that's very kind of you, Scott, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time on to come on today. Scott Van Pelt, as everybody knows, is the host of, I mean, I will just call it the late Eastern edition of SportsCenter, because it honestly may be on at different times over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, he will be on that show and his excellent staff, and they will figure out what kind of content to bring to you in what is extraordinary times. And Scott Van Pelt has basically become one of the pillars of ESPN, and that speaks very well, in my opinion, of ESPN. And I would say that if he wasn't my guest or not, because I've certainly written it and said it before. Scott, thanks so much, man, for time today. I appreciate it, and stay safe to you and your family. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Hang in and be well. Be safe, all right?
All right, back in the studio, so to speak. My thanks to Scott Van Pelt for an interesting and honest conversation. Previous guests prior to Scott, if you want to check out on the Sports Media with Richard Deitch podcast page, Dr. Celine Gounder and Grant Wall, they are married. Celine is a infectious disease doctor. Grant, I think many of you would know, is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and one of the preeminent soccer writers in the country. And Celine is someone who you've probably seen on CNN or heard her podcast, and gave what I thought was sobering and important information on the coronavirus and where we are now, and or at least where we are when we tape that, and the nexus between sports and the virus. So check that out. Before that, John Orant, a couple weeks, did Tony Romo's contract with me and some other sports media talk. Prior to that, go down the list of people who I spoke with, Shannon Spake and Jamie Little of Fox, on how to cover NASCAR in the Daytona 500, covering Kobe Bryant with Howard Beck and Tim Kawakami, Tiffany Green and Megan McPeak on being pioneers in play-by-play, Jalen Rose, Adam Amin, Jim Ross, Joe Buck. Those are some of the people who you have heard on this podcast in the last couple months. My thanks to everybody at Cadence 13, from Patrick and Sean to Chris Corcoran, Spencer Brown, John McDermott. We will continue to publish this podcast as long as we can go. So we'll have somebody next week, probably a little more sports media oriented talk. Until then, thanks so much for listening. This is Richard Deitch. We'll see you again on the Sports Media Podcast.